Please, back in Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4, if you would. Appreciate the Lord helping us this morning. anticipating the Lord to help us tonight. Amen. By His grace. Amen. And He specializes in that, don't He? Amen. Right. That's right. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17. The scripture says, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, now keep in mind, He's starting His earthly ministry. He's 30 years old, He's starting His earthly ministry. And His interest at the beginning, as we mentioned this morning, is calling men to catch men. Calling men. I'm wanting to get some help. I need some help. I need some instruments, people I can work through to catch men. Somebody that after I'm gone can carry on the gospel outreach. And that's been true every generation. God wants you to be able to teach others also that when you're off the scene, they can carry on. And so that's what's going on in this passage. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew His brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And He called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. Let's pray. Father, we ask You in Jesus' name that Your will would be done in this service tonight. Deal with sinners, deal with the saints of God. May You get maximum glory. Speak to me, speak through me. Lord, I prayed even today, Lord, that You wouldn't just speak to the church and speak to our young people and speak to families and parents and individuals. But Lord, I said, please speak to me. Lord, I want You to deal with me. I want You to challenge me. Dear Father, have Your way as we endeavor to bring the message tonight. I need that anointing that makes preaching effective. I pray You cleanse us, God, from head to toe, inside and out, of anything, everything, God, that grieve You. Quench the Spirit of God. Hinder, Lord, You from putting Your hand upon us. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over the enemy. Dear God, the devil himself, the flesh, and the world. Lord, that it would not have any bearing whatsoever in this service. Deliver us from distractions. Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost will accomplish the will of God tonight. We'll thank You for what You do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank You again so much for standing. We're dealing with a subject in this passage, and it's very clear. Let me just mention a few things here, if I could, just to kind of get our minds back where we need to be. That when Jesus called these men, when He was looking for somebody to follow Him, He found somebody that was interested in catching fish. He was looking for those that were busy. God has never called the lazy, but He calls the busy. Amen. Do what you know to do until God gives you further direction. Amen. God's will is a building process. I do what I know to do right now, and then God will show me what to do next. But anyway, He's calling men, and He's basically saying to them, you used nets to catch fish. I want to use you to catch men. So what He's doing there, as we pointed out this morning, is He's saying your life will be just like those nets. Without those nets, you could not catch fish. And without your life being what it needs to be, then you will not catch men. You will not win anybody to the Lord. And so that's what we've been dealing with in the message this morning. And I'll just skip through a lot of things. We started out this morning, and we started out with point number one, the reasons for holes. the reasons for holes. And this net here, of course, is one that is no good. It's still called a net. It don't lose its identity because it's holes, got holes in it. No more than a lot of times church folk got, they still got the identity of a church member or even a child of God or a saved person, but they got holes in their life. And in verse number 21, they were mending their nets. Jesus said, that interests me. I'm reading between the lines. That interests me. If they're interested in making sure they don't have holes in their net in effort to be more efficient and more effective in catching fish, then they probably will treat their life that same way, to look at their life and to make sure that in their life they keep the holes mended up. And of course, we made the application there with Hebrews 13 and verse number 21, where God is telling us there that He wants to make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. That word perfect, amen, make you perfect in every good work, is the same identical word that is translated in Matthew 4:21, mending. God is out to mend. God wants us to mend the net of our life. So we talked first about the reasons for holes, and we pointed that out. Number two, we got to the place of dealing with the recognition of holes. If you have holes in your net, it will be noticed. If you have holes in the net of your life, it will be noticed. Sinners will notice. Of course, one of the things we pointed out was the father probably pointed it out. Zebedee probably said, hey, there's some holes. You know, we've got a heavenly father that's going to let us know when there's a hole in our life, when there's a blemish, when there's a reason in our life for sinners who are fish, are lacking unto fish when they get away. But notice this right here. Not only did the father notice that, but other fishermen noticed that. Remember me holding that net up this morning and say, what's the first thing you seen? And everybody in here said the holes. You didn't say the handle. You didn't even say the preacher. You didn't say the part of the net that didn't have the holes, but you noticed the holes. That's the way people are geared. And if you quit, if you back up, if you falter spiritually, sinners will see it. And they'll use that as an escape route. And I thought about this morning, this where we got to, about the fish will see it. Fish will see the holes in your life. They're looking for it. Remember what we said this morning? Fish likes holes in your life. Sinners like holes in your life because they can use that as an excuse and a reason to not get saved. Amen? I believe that's what Paul had in mind when he dealt with being a stumbling block. When he was talking about being a stumbling block. What about John when he was writing the epistle of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10? He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. None occasion of stumbling in him. Amen. Talking about fish seeing the blemishes. Fish, lost people seeing the holes. When David fell with Bathsheba, you know what that was reported? You know what the Bible records in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 14 about David? When he fell, ripped a big hole in his testimony, ripped a big hole in his spiritual life. You know what it was said of him? Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given a great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Amen. When you allow holes in your life, you give reason to the enemies of God to blaspheme. Amen. Amen. And so we talked about the recognition of holes. The recognition of holes. Number three, this is where we're going to start tonight. I want to talk about the responsibilities. The responsibility attached to the holes. If you'll notice in this passage, Jesus wasn't doing the mending. If you'll notice that. They were being responsible and mending their own nets. Your life, your spiritual life, is your responsibility. If there's a hole in your life, whether you caused it or whether you was on the receiving end of it, or whatever, it don't matter, you're still responsible for any holes that come in the net of your life.
You're right.
Amen. They were responsible. Let me say this, not only Jesus wasn't mending the holes wasn't mending themselves. The holes won't mend themselves. A hole's a hole. Well, that's deep, isn't it? And not only that, it's the natural course of it is it's going to get bigger. The hole is going to get bigger. And it's going to get bigger. And the more fish that goes out the hole, the bigger it's going to get. So Jesus wasn't mending the net. It wasn't his responsibility. Amen. Holes will not mend themselves. Amen. The ones who were mending the nets owned the nets. Amen. Your life, your responsibility. My salvation is God's responsibility. Because I'm saved with a covenant, Brother Ivan. But ladies and gentlemen, my spirituality is my responsibility. If there's holes, and by the way, there's no holes in my salvation. If you get a hold of that, you're probably going to say, whoa! There's no holes in my salvation because my salvation is a person whose name is Jesus and he is the personification of perfection. There's no blemish. There's no spot. There's no wrinkle in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. But my spirituality, Brother Tim, is my responsibility. And all of us will be dealing with holes all of our life. An efficient fisherman kept a close eye on the condition of their nets. You've heard me make this statement, keep an eye on your own spiritual life. You ought to be the first one to identify decline. Not the preacher, not your parents, not your kids, not your mate. Not your neighbors, not somebody at work. Amen. You should be so in tune with your spiritual life and spiritual direction. Amen. You should be the first one to notice when decline comes about. Why? Because you're the one responsible to fix it. Ain't that right? Amen. Listen to this. Listen, holes should never be tolerated. Excused, allowed, or made light of. Oh, preach it. It's just a little hole. It ain't going to make no difference. Well, it may not be a big hole, but little fish can get out of a little hole. Little fish can get out of a little hole. Children you're trying to win to God can get out of a little hole. Amen. If they ever catch you telling a lie, they'll never forget that. If you live to be 110, they'll never forget that. You lied to me. You lied to me. Best thing to do is tell the truth across the board. Amen. To where nobody will ever say, "That's you got a hole in your testimony. You lied to me. You pulled a shady deal on me. You've done me wrong." Yeah. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Simply saying, amen, we're responsible for mending our nets. We're responsible ourselves. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's go on and deal with something else if we could. This will be number four. I want to talk about repairing the holes. Repairing the holes. Now, I don't know if y'all got that about the, about the repairing the holes and being responsible for the holes. But man, that's it right there. What if everybody would be responsible every day and every week to make sure the holes are mended up in your life? What kind of powerhouse services could we have, Brother Tom? What kind of effect could we have on sinners? Amen. My soul, we'll not be efficient, we'll not be effective at catching men for the gospel's sake if there's holes in our life. But how many churches are operating like that right there? They're a net, they're a net, and they're probably still going through the motions. They're trying to catch, they've got activities, they've got programs and all of that, but they've got holes in their ministry. How many Christians are like that? Still coming to church, but you got holes all in your life. You got holes of carnality, holes of compromise, holes of coldness all in your life. But let me deal number four with the repairing of the holes. The repairing of the holes. Amen. Point clearly seen right here is that nets require maintenance. That's just a little thought. We're going to deal with something in just a moment. And we're not going to preach as long as we did this morning, as far as I know. But here, listen. Truthfully, the point is nets require maintenance. Nets require maintenance. And Jesus saw that in them. Here's some men that are paying attention to holes in their net and are responsible to repair them. I believe I can call them and get them following me, and I can use them to make a big difference in the future. Maintenance that prevents holes is much better than maintenance that repairs holes. Holes prevented is a lot easier than holes having to be repaired. Amen. How many people are holy people? H-O-L-E-Y. They're holy people. And they make no efforts whatsoever to be responsible and to repair the holes in their life. They don't make no efforts. All right, listen to this. Mending the nets was their responsibility, not God's. I want to give you this passage of scripture right here. You don't have to turn unless you just want to. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Actually, chapter 6. But I'm going to read chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know that verse is given in the context of separation? In the context of be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, in light of that, wherefore, come out from among them. That is, you do it. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then it went into that verse I gave you. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's outward, and spirit, that's inward, that's a little less. Amen. You're responsible to cleanse yourself, mend the holes outwardly. You're responsible to cleanse and mend the holes inwardly. Your attitude, your desires, your thoughts, all of those things and many more. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Remember, I'm trying to preach on going from holy, H-O-L-E-Y, to holy, H-O-L-Y. All right, the enemy will tell you that holes are unimportant, that they're insignificant, and that other people in their nets, they have holes too. Are you going to live your life that way? Are you going to gauge, are you going to make choices based on that right there? Well, they've got holes in their net, preacher. What's the big deal? Why is the Spirit of God making a big deal over the holes in my life when they've got holes in their life? Amen. Oh yeah, the devil will tell you that it's unimportant. That he'll downplay the size. Oh, preacher, it's just small. And he also will point out parts of the net that are not, that doesn't have holes. And so after all, look at this part of your life. It don't have a hole in it. No, look at that. It don't have a hole in it. Look at this. It don't have a hole in it. And he'll get your eyes off of the holes by looking at them, focusing on the parts of your life that doesn't have a hole in it. And I don't know too many of them that's in my life that doesn't have a hole in it. Amen? But the enemy will tell you that. Yeah, he'll tell you that holes are permanent. And no need to work on it. You've blown it. Holes are permanent. Now, I do want to say this now, that if we were to take and mend up this net right here, we could probably, if we had some string, Brother Gerald, we could probably tie that together to where it would serve the purpose and keep fish from going out of it. But it still will always easily be noticed. There used to be a hole right there. It'll never be like it once was. Amen. Don't ever listen to the devil thinking that if I back up, if I slack up, if I slow up, amen, that it won't matter. It'll matter. Yes, God forgives and God restores and all of that, but I'm telling you, lost ground, some of it is hard to ever get back. Scars and regret and misery and amen. Boy, I tell you, the white throne judgment, I believe we'll be there, but we'll not be partakers of the judgment. But I tell you what, I believe it's going to be a sad day, friend. When we see people that we've lived with, lived around, worked around, went to school with, was in the neighborhood with, relatives bound hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire. And I don't know that they'll do it. I don't know if they'll do it. Probably won't. But what if they turned and looked at us, Brother Silas? Why did you not live right in front of me? You knew the truth. Why did you not tell me? Why did you were around me with holes in your net? And you didn't win me to God because I kept slipping out through them holes. I kept slipping out through them holes in your testimony. Boy, don't you know that'd be sad? Have bloody hands. Amen. Oh Lord, repairing holes takes time. Mending their nets, that took time. They could have been doing other things. But they made it a priority. Oh yes, thank you Lord. They made it a priority. A hole in my net means fish escaping tomorrow. It means taking away my efficiency and my effectiveness in labor. I'll have a lot of wasted effort with holes. They made it a priority. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that thought. They made it a priority. They stopped what they were doing. They were mending their nets, getting ready to go fishing the next day, repairing the holes. These men could have said, they're just holes. Besides, look at all the other rest of the net that's still in good shape. Let me give you this to think about. Repairing them. I'm talking about repairing the holes. Repairing them, I'm going to give you three things to consider tonight, and I'll be done. I want us to notice this tonight. We need to repair the nets, the nets of our life, because we care about the Father. We care about the Father. It makes it very clear that in verse 21 that James and John were the sons of Zebedee and they were on his ship and he was with them. And they were mending their nets. They were mending the nets because they cared about their Father. Did you know this? And I thought about this on this repairing them because we care about the Father. Listen, they were serving their Father on his ship. Thus, ultimately, the holes reflects on the Father. The holes in their nets that were left there ultimately reflected on Zebedee, their father. Holes in your life will reflect, if you're saved, the holes in your life will reflect on your Father in heaven. Are you getting that? That's big, I think. They were on their father's ship, and so they were his nets. The nets they were mending were the father's nets, actually. And you know what? The nets of your life is really the father's nets. He owns you. You belong to him. Amen? Oh, yeah. Repairing the nets because we care about the Father. Do we notice that? Do we ever think much about that? That the choices we make reflect on God, reflect back on Jesus? How we live, how we talk, whether we're on fire or whether we're cold, whether we're distant, whether we're close, that all reflects on the Father. Makes him look good or look bad. And usually if I'm interested in how I look and far as wanting to look good in the world's eyes, then usually I'm a disgrace in the Father's eyes. Amen.
Some make light of repairing the nets because they fail to live in the light of the really whose nets are they? See, I believe that. I believe that a lot of people fail to repair the nets of their life from the holes that's in it because they don't realize whose nets they are. Amen. Well, it's my life, preacher. It's my life. It's my business. If I got holes in my life, it's none of your business. It's none of the church's business. It's none of parents' business. None of my children's business. It's nobody else's business, preacher. It's my life. No, no, no. If you're saved, it's not your life. If you're saved, it's not your life. If you're saved, the net of your life belongs to your Father. Amen. And if we care about our Father, if we love our Father like we should, guess what? We'll want to repair the holes. Repairing the holes honors our Father. I remember an illustration I'd read a long time ago and used it before of this young girl that was going out on the, she had made some commitments, boy, to just serve God and live for Jesus. And some of her friends kept saying, come on and go out with us, go out with us, go out with us. And she knew that they probably were going to go places she shouldn't go and do things she shouldn't do. And finally she'd give in. She finally gave in and went with them. And they began to make fun of her because she wouldn't participate in some of their activities. They made fun of her. They called her names and so forth. And they said, what's the matter? Are you afraid that you're going to hurt your Father if you do these things? Or no, no. They said, are you afraid that your Father is going to hurt you if you do these things? And she said, oh no, I'm afraid I'll hurt my Father if I do these things. Repairing the nets of your life shows that you care about God. Amen. That's so simple, and I don't know if we're getting it or not. But listen, if you love God, you really want to be a holy, H-O-L-Y, individual for God. So repairing them, why? Because you care about the Father. Number two, repair the holes because you care about your family. Notice this right here. James and John that were mending the nets were brothers. This was a family business. Zebedee was the daddy. James and John was the brother. In other words, the holes in the net would affect the family. Others in the family. The rest of the family. Holes matter if it just affected you. But holes don't just affect you. Holes will affect your family. If there's holes in your net, it's going to affect John. It's going to affect James. It's going to affect Zebedee. It's going to affect their mother. It's going to affect their other family members. Are y'all getting that? Because we care about the family. I want to, listen, mend the nets of my life and mend the nets of my life because I have family. I have a church family. I have my family. Got relatives and so forth. My goodness, that right there spoke to me. Holes affects others, not just you. If they catch fish or not, ultimately that will affect the whole family. And I thought about the classic example in Joshua 7, Achan. Achan allowed an immoral choice, an ungodly choice, to partake of the accursed thing out of Jericho. Went and hid in his tent. Nobody knew about it except God. But he had a hole, Brother Clipper, in his net. He had a hole in his testimony. God knew him. God saw that. And you know the story that in chapter 7 of Joshua, how that the children of Israel went against the little enemy called Ai, which should have been just an easy thing compared to Jericho. But 36 men died because God wasn't with them, and Ai whipped them. 36 men of Israel died, Brother Craig. And Joshua was reading again this morning, and Joshua was on his face praying, "Oh God, in essence, what is going on? God, you gave a great victory over Jericho, and now we go up against Ai, which was so much smaller, and they whipped us." And God told Joshua, "Get up from off of your face." In other words, Joshua, you can pray to you, you pray all you want to pray, and it ain't going to fix this. You're not going to pray and fix what only purity can fix. Oh, that's good. Joshua, get up from off of your face. There's sin in the camp. You know what God told Joshua? Israel had sin. One man sinned, Brother Tim, partook of the accursed thing, but God said Israel had sinned. You know why? Achan's sin affected the whole nation. Achan's sin affected Israel. 36 men died because Achan allowed a hole in his net and wouldn't repair it. I say again, we need to repair it because we care about the family. But not only did 36 men of Israel die, Joshua called and said, "Up and sanctify yourselves." And people began to confess, and people began to do what God said. And the next thing you know, Ai is up and he's confessing, "I did it. I partook of the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold, and it's hid in my tent under my I've got it hid in the earth and in my tent." And Joshua sent men over to his tent, and sure enough, there it was, and they brought it. Brother Barry, guess what else they brought? They brought his sons and his daughters. And Israel stoned Achan, his sons and his daughters, and all that he had. See, the devil will probably whisper in your ear, "A hole in your net won't matter. It won't affect nobody. It's my business. It's my life. If I want that Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold in my tent, then I have the right to do that." No. Not when you belong to God. You don't have that authority. You don't have that right. And when you allow holes to come in your spiritual life, it will not only reflect on your father, but it will also affect your family. David, very selfishly, took Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and sinned with her. Probably thought, "I'll cover this up. Nobody'll ever know. Nobody'll ever know." Every effort to cover it up failed because of the godly character of Uriah. And you talking about a godly man? That was a godly man right there, buddy. Uriah was. But anyway, David's baby died, and the sword never left his house. And man, he had trouble in his family. Absalom died. Tamar was raped what was his name? And Jonadab had a friend. No, Amnon. Amnon, David's son Amnon, raped Tamar. Everywhere David looked was pain and death and disaster, all stemming back to that hole that David allowed and made the choice to rip in his life spiritually and morally. Here, listen, repair the holes in your net. You're responsible to do that. Why? Because you should care enough about your father. The girls sing the song, "I just want to please the Lord." God is working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Lord, I want to please You. Therefore, I'm going to deal with the holes in my life. If I want to please myself, then I will leave the holes in my life. Because holes does please the flesh. If you care about your father, mend the holes. If you care about your family, mend the holes. Thirdly and last, if you care about fish, sinners, lost people, then mend the net. Mend the net. Deal with the holes in your net. Why? Because that is the exit place for sinners to escape. How many sinners have escaped already through hypocrisy? People living double lives. Once was on fire, once was excited, once close to God, Brother Silas, and now they got distant and started walking after the flesh, and holes was ripped in their net. Every way they turned, there was holes in their net. And people that you really ought to care about started going out them holes. Ah, if you was a Christian, you wouldn't do that. If you was really saved, you wouldn't do that. And they go out them holes. If you care about the Father, you'll repair the net. If you care about your family, you'll repair the net. And if you care about fish, you'll repair the net. If you don't care about fish, listen, and once a fish escapes out that hole, very likely you'll ever get that fish back in the net again. Probably never get them back in the net again. May not ever have an opportunity to win them to Christ again. Say, preacher, why should we mend the nets? Because I do not want to be a stumbling block and a stepping. I do not want to be an offense. I do not want to be a hindrance to sinners getting saved. How many parents are trying to win their children with nets like this? How many parents are trying to win their children with nets like this? But Silas, I've had, where I've traveled and stuff, I tell you, I've had young people to say, Dad, if Daddy and Mama, if my parents is what they've got is what I'm supposed to have, I don't want it. One thing at church, another thing at home. Think it don't matter? You know what's going out that hole? Your children. Amen. Well, you're inside your own home. Don't matter. Nobody's looking. Your children are.
Right.
Your children are. Don't you think it's a vain thing, Brother McCarricker, for us to try to win our children to God with holes in our net? This is something that troubles me, and I want to share it with you. It troubles me greatly. I'm in a lot of meetings, and I don't know why all that is, but that's just a part of it right now, seems like. But anyway, I was in a meeting not long ago, right over below Marable, preaching. And one morning, in one of the morning services, me and Brother Buster Mullins was preaching together. And one testimony after another came from out of the congregation. Pray for my son. Another would say, pray for my daughter. Grandparents, pray for my grandchildren. I couldn't believe, and it wasn't that big of a crowd, but I couldn't believe, Brother Tim, how many requests came out. Pray for our children. They're not in church. Was raised in church, but not in church now. Well, I'm telling you, that alarms me. And I'm going to tell you what a lot of it falls on right there. Amen. Parents letting holes in their net. Letting holes come in the home. Amen. And children went right out. Amen. If Noah was going to win anybody to God, he was going to win his children to God. And that's the only ones he did win to God, was his children. If anybody's going to heaven, you ought to make sure your children is. And the best way to do that is use a net like this one that doesn't have holes in it, that you can be effective, and your kids, that your kids have confidence. Does your children have confidence in you? Grandparents, does your grandchildren have confidence in you? Do they see your life full of holes? If they were needing somebody to pray, would you be the first one they would want to call? My grandma Chapman, Brother Carol, Miss Carol knew them, met her. In fact, she'd been here once years ago. She's in glory, been in glory for years. But my whole life, Miss Betty, I never seen one hole in her life, not one. One of the godliest people I've ever met and been around in my life. And that's why we've got one of the godly heritages that we do have in my family is because of the godliness of Grandpa and Grandma Chapman. You say, it don't matter, preacher. Holes don't really matter. Holes matter. And if you care about fish, if you want to see sinners get saved, you'll care about the holes in your life. You'll care about it. You'll want to repair those holes. Because I don't want to be the reason sinners go to hell. I don't want to be the reason sinners go to hell. Amen? Listen. It mattered to them here in our text. It mattered to them if some fish were going to get away. It mattered to them. James, John, why are you mending your nets? We don't want no fish to get away. But you're going to catch a lot, though. You're going to catch a lot, yeah. But we don't want one to get out. We may catch a bunch, but we don't want one to escape. If you don't mind holes and you allow them in your life, then I want to propose a question to you. Do you really care about sinners? Paul deals with that over and again in his epistles in the New Testament, walking honestly toward them that are without. Bringing into view those that are lost without God and how we're supposed to act around them and how we're supposed to talk to them and, amen, and have our conversation seasoned with salt around them. Why? So that they cannot point their finger at us and say, oh, a hole. I see a hole. And use that as an excuse. No doubt the fish, as I've mentioned this morning, likes holes in your life. They like it. Holes helps to make your labors vain, unfruitful, and unproductive. Had not they mended those nets, they could have went out there the next day and ever how they did the nets, ever how they put them out and drew them back in. Brother Jeter, they could have went through that same process the next day, not mending the nets. Go ahead and do that. Went through the same thing. But their labors would have been unproductive and unfruitful. Mending the nets makes you more efficient and more effective. Well, I don't want to be a bad influence to anybody. Do you? I don't want to influence. Listen, I want to influence your children for God. I want to influence your family for the Lord. Amen. I want to live my life, Brother Rob, and conduct my life publicly, privately. I want to conduct my life to where when you invite your family to this church, that you don't have to hang your heads up. Oh, Lord, I wonder what they know about Preacher Ackley. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be an offense. I want people to be able to have confidence in me. Amen. Oh, my soul. That's right. Why? We care about fish. And you know, I mentioned this morning. I brought this out, Brother Ivan's net and Brother Craddock's net. And I was going to use that throughout my illustration today, but I didn't figure y'all could see it. You know, that net don't have holes in it, does it? It's called a net just as much as those are called a net. But the thing is, and nets represent what? No. Fish represent sinners. Our life. Right there's a lot of people's life. It's a net. It's made for the same purpose, but your life stays small. Brother Gillum, you know what I believe our problem is? We're living a little life for a big Lord. And the size of the net, Brother Tom, is in proportion to the fish you're trying to catch, or how many you're trying to catch. If this represents your life right here, it may do a little, but that's it. It may catch a little one every now and then, but that's it. Why not have a big life for Jesus? Why not have a big net for Jesus? Your life being a net. And I want to tell you, the Lord showed me this while the choir was singing a while ago. You know what one of the greatest motives for you to have a big net for God and be used of God in your life, keep the holes mended up in your life, is because you used to be in a net. You used to be in a net. You used to be in a snare of the enemy. But now, instead of being in a net, you are a net that God is using to catch men. That right there ought to be a great motive for you to want to live for God is that you could have still been in the snare, you could have still been in the trap, you could have still been in the net of the devil, of the enemy. But instead, you've been delivered. When you got saved, you've been delivered and set free. Now you are a net, and you're being used to catch men. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we come to you.